keep doing it now, right?
So if there is anyone who is interested in telling a story about Jesus on a Sunday morning to those two precious girls and Jackson and whoever else God will bring into our midst, if you are interested in telling a story sometime, it's fun. At least it's fun for me. And it's a great way to show the little ones that we care about them. And I'm going to say that probably the adults are like children's time too, right? Kids come up with the greatest things to say. All right, now let me switch gears a little bit and let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful that your Spirit is always with us, always ready to teach us something new about you. We're thankful, Lord, that your Spirit is upon all of us and that you could use each and every one of us to speak truth into each other's lives. We pray, Lord, that in your word, in the preaching of your word this morning, Lord, that you would be honored and that we would open our hearts to receive the word you have for us, that we would not just hear it and be hearers of the word, but also be doers of the word and go from this place transformed and changed and eager to do a good work in your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus said, in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, when we want to know the condition of our colon, we are asked to empty ourselves. That was a pretty quick switch, right? Because we're awake, right? When we want to know the condition of our colon, we're asked to empty ourselves and fast from food for 24 hours. And then for the last 8 hours, we're not supposed to drink any water so that the doctor can examine us. If we want the truth, and we want to know the truth about our body, we will do it. If we hunger and thirst to know if we are right with God, then we will also do what we need to do to be clean and righteous and healthy before God. We're entering a season on the calendar that we call Lent. It starts this Wednesday. And you received the invitation to attend the Lent service at Wences UCC this Wednesday evening. They're having a dinner at 6 o'clock, and then after that, they'll have the service. This service will start the Lenten season. I don't know how much Pastor Mike talked about the Lenten season. I don't know how much you observe the Lenten season. Some years I do more than others. But this year, since I will be attending the Lenten services almost every Wednesday, I will attend a little bit more to it. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and that's how Lent starts. In some churches, they have a service to start the season of Lent in which members receive the symbol of ashes on their forehead as a sign of purification. As the fire burns, it can separate what is enduring and what is perishable. And when we put the ash, when we receive the sign of the cross in ashes, it shows of our willingness to be purified by Jesus and making space for Jesus in our lives. Jesus said, again, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Making space for Jesus in our lives is one way that we show that we're hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of God, that we're thirsting to be right before God, that we're thirsting to live justly and righteously. Last week, I talked about Isaiah 58. We talked about being filled with Christ. Isaiah 58 says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like spring whose waters never fail." So when you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the end result is that you will be filled. And so this connects to our last week's sermon on being filled. I probably should have preached the other sermon first, and then last week's, but we're just backtracking a little bit this time. So now I want you to turn in your Bibles, because this is the chapter that we're going to stick with for the rest of the sermon. Isaiah 58. The verse that I talked about last week, Isaiah 58, I don't know if you remember, but I said that there were a whole bunch of verses before that that we also needed to pay attention to. So that's what we're going to do today. Isaiah chapter 58. "Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called a repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. And if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So here in Isaiah 58, we see that people were fasting from food but they were not being transformed by the fasting. They were just not eating. They were just choosing to be hungry, but it was all physical. Fasting is a spiritual act. It is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Now, I don't know what you've heard about fasting, but I chose to talk about this today because just as we enter a new season, as we enter a different time on the church calendar, it's just an opportunity for us just to get bumped a little bit out of our rut, a little bit out of our trajectory. When people ask me, how were things last week? Fine. Life just keeps going, right? Just keeps moving. But every once in a while, something happens to you. Something sad or you get sick and your body responds by not eating. Your body, if you're so sad, your body like stops wanting to eat. If you get sick, your body stops wanting the food. And what happens is that every once in a while, we need to just like, sometimes it happens naturally, but sometimes we have to make ourselves do it. So if you come to a season like this Lenten season, it's just an opportunity for you just to bump yourself out of your regular routine and try something new. Try something fresh, try something different. I'm talking about fasting today because fasting was an expected discipline in the Old and New Testament. Jesus told his disciples, right now we're not fasting, but when the bridegroom leaves, he's talking about himself, the disciples will fast. In the Bible, you see these examples of fasting to prepare for ministry. Jesus himself spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness fasting and praying before he began the work that God had for him on earth. People fasted in the Bible to seek God's wisdom. The disciples fasted and prayed. Paul and Barnabas fasted and prayed because when they wanted to decide who was going to be the elders of the church. People fast to show grief in the Bible. Nehemiah mourned and fasted and prayed when he heard that Jerusalem's walls had been broken down. In the Bible, people fasted to seek deliverance or protection. Ezra declared a corporate fast and prayed for safe journey for the Israelites as they made the 900-mile journey back to Jerusalem. People fasted in the Bible to repent. After Jonah pronounced judgment against Nineveh, the king of Nineveh covered himself with sackcloth and sat in the dust. He ordered the people to fast and pray. He even ordered the animals not to be fed. And God saw what they did and that they had turned from their evil ways, and he relented and did not bring to them the destruction that he had threatened. In the Bible, they fast to gain victory in war. They fasted to worship God. In Luke 2, it tells a story about a prophetess named Anna. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Anna was devoted to God, and fasting was one of her expressions of her love for him. I can feel that some people are going to say, well, I don't know. I never fasted or prayed. I mean, I never fasted. I've never tried that. It seems like an extreme thing to do. Have you ever fasted in your life? Whether it was an involuntary situation where you just were so sad that you just didn't feel like eating, or whether you just wanted something so badly, and you just fasted and prayed for that. Because you believed that by doing so, God would honor your prayer. Fasting and praying can restore to us our first love in the Lord, and it can result in a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Fasting is a way for you to humble yourself before God. Fasting is a way for the Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition, resulting in brokenness, repentance, and a transformed life. Fasting will make the Word of God be more clear to you and its truth become more meaning for you. Fasting can transform your prayer life into a richer and more personal experience. That's the Bible stuff. So let's talk about where the rubber hits the road. During the season of Lent, some people choose to fast, right? A friend of mine gave up chocolate or sugar. Some people fast from food on a certain day, and some people give up a certain kind of meat. Some people fast from Facebook or TV, so that they could have more time to seek God. Some people use the time to break a habit. I'm fasting this year from complaining. Every time they start to go, oh, that's right, I'm fasting from that. Or they fast from gossip. Others try to start a new habit. And they read a chapter of their Bible every day, or they pray more faithfully. I don't always, every year, intentionally commit to a journey of fasting or otherwise. But I have learned to appreciate, struggle with, and respect the discipline of physical and spiritual fast. Now, I know some people can't fast because of health reasons, and some people can't fast from food for health reasons. And so I would just like to say that I think there's room in this invitation. There's room in this for you to do what you feel like God is asking you to do. I've had many failed experiences with physical food fasting. Way more failed experiences than successful experiences. Because I'm the cook in my house, and you know, I'm cooking along and I'm fasting and I pop a carrot in my mouth. Oh. Or my day of fasting is so full of other stuff that I'm just going hungry. I'm not really replacing it with any spiritual nourishment. But I have had several fasting experiences that encourage me to continue to try, that have resulted in powerfully answered prayer and transformation. One time I fasted for one of my sons who was ill, and it was a difficult situation, and I really didn't know what else to do. And I felt like after my time of fasting, I felt like God said, you know, what is it that you really, really want? What is, fasting peels out down the layers. It helps you get down to, like, the truth, to who you really are and what you really want. And I said, I want my son to be healed. And he had a hospital appointment the next day. And I said, I want him to be able to be free from this. It's something that he had gone through for years. And the next day when we went to the hospital, the doctor took him in to do the procedure, and when he came back out, he said, "I didn't need to do the procedure. He was fine." Wow! Thank you. And so even one successful, disciplined fast, like, I feel like God can work in just amazing ways when we discipline ourselves to seek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And that condition never came back. He was forever healed from it. And I still feel my spirit dumping, and I still feel like I want to tear up when I think about that time. So this year, I feel like I'm invited by God to meditate on these verses in Isaiah and intentionally purpose to hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God in a specific way to be determined. I'm not sure what it is. Because I want to be filled like Jesus promised. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be filled. So let me read again for you Isaiah 58, the descriptions of what true fasting are. Because there is the physical fasting, right? But like the way we learned here in 58, if you are just not eating and you're not replacing it with righteousness and right living, then you're just not eating. It's not doing you any spiritual good. So God says, and this is why I want to leave it open for you, because I'm not telling you that you have to physically fast in the next 40 days. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you that all of us need to be bumped a little bit out of our routine. All of us need to be reminded that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And however it is in the next weeks before Resurrection Sunday, however it is that you choose to fast, the definition of fasting is huge, but it also can be specific. So this is the fasting that God wants to see us do. So you may decide that you're going to fast from the Isaiah 58 decision to loose the chains of injustice. You may choose to fast by setting the oppressed free. You may choose to fast by sharing your food with the hungry, going to the MCC canner. You may choose to fast by providing a poor wanderer with shelter. You can choose to fast by clothing the naked. You can choose to fast by not turning away from your own flesh and blood. You can choose to fast by doing away with the yoke of oppression. You can choose to fast by not pointing your finger or talking maliciously. You can choose to fast by spending yourself on behalf of the hungry, satisfying the needs of the oppressed. You can choose to fast by keeping the Sabbath day holy and calling it a delight. It's a strange mix of things, right? But think about what God is inviting you to do. This was a hard sermon to put together in the puzzle. Like, I feel like there's so many different pieces, but I'm hoping that you're seeing like a picture. So let's think about this. What is God's invitation for you this season of Lent? Anybody want to share? What is God's invitation to you for this season of Lent? How will you seek the Lord? How will you show that you hunger and thirst for righteousness? What will you give up so that you can grow closer to God? How will you make space for Jesus in your life? Helen. Oh, Jake, did you raise your hand too? So fasting from self-pity, giving it up so that God can fill that space with something better, right? Jake, did you want to say?
Yeah, I was wondering if you could just explain a little bit. This is always one of my favorite scriptures.
Yeah.
It kind of tells you how God wants you to live.
Right.
Yeah. But what are they exactly saying? Are they talking about salvation in verse 6 there? And set the oppressed free?
Mm-hmm.
I just never quite understood those couple of first verses.
Yeah.
What exactly are we supposed to do? The other ones, like I said, are obvious what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, so if you go up a little bit further in the chapter, it talks about on your day of fasting, you do as you please and exploit your workers, right? So I think it has to do with injustice. Like if you're fasting over here and presenting yourself to be this holy, disciplined person, but then you cheat your neighbor or you lie about things, or if you own a company, you don't pay people their just wages. I think it's connected to the earlier part of the chapter. And I think, I think every time we see set the oppressed free and break every yoke, I think every time I see that in Scripture, it's always a multi-layered thing, right? So, we don't live in a time where we have slaves and things like that, but I think it's always, there are certainly slaves, right? There's sex slaves, in our own. So anything that you can do to set an oppressed person free, whether they're oppressed by other people's opinions or whether they're oppressed by, like a person who's holding them in some sort of slavery. But I think every time I see oppressed free and break every yoke, I also feel like that's a spiritual thing. So I think everything in here, everything that is practical, breaking yokes, setting oppressed free, sharing food, everything has its spiritual component. When you feed somebody, if you just give them food, physical food, you're feeding their body, but you're not feeding their souls. I think all of it has an underlying spiritual component too. Like it's, yeah, Jen.
And it comes out as an attitude, but oftentimes it's depression, and how the system they live in is coming out is not the same way that a white girl experiences depression in the suburbs. And it's not a depression of sadness, it's your brain is an organ and it's missing the chemical disease. But then the systemic depression of where they live and how that
Right. Yep. So that's the invitation for you, right? In this time. Yeah. Jake, did I finish answering your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Kim. Fastnacht.
And it still goes. And he was so, I mean, you could tell they were married for many years, and he was like so distraught. And he said to me, I miss her so much. And I said to him, you know, she's right here, too. She's right here. She's right here in your heart. And he goes, do you really think so? Do you really think so? I said, I'm a big girl. I know so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it was those words that were able to make him stop and think, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, physically, yes. We all feel that way even with the pastor Mike.
Yeah.
Physically, he's that awesome. But I see him here every Sunday. You know, and it's just his way of coming back to all of our hearts and giving back. And I think it's saying good morning to someone when they walk through the door. Or it's, you know, I mean, we're all good to say to maybe our customers, oh, good morning, we're back, and how are you? Can you find everything you're looking for? You know. But it's a rote thing, but still I think sometimes there are people that just need that somebody cares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really try to put I don't just say it because it's a rote thing, you know, when I ask somebody, so how's your day, or what is your work thing, I ask them, how's your day going? You know, so
yeah.
I was raised to be about giving.
Yeah. Except for the extra pound that you gain from eating all those. Right, so again, I want to remind you that Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we have to hunger and we have to thirst for it. And when we're meant to try new things. We're meant to open ourselves to the work that God's doing in our life, because God always wants to do a new thing. So I invite you to just think about what is that thing that God is inviting you to do over the next 40 days until Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And we will be continue to talk about the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus over the next Sundays. And remember that we are building our lives on the foundation of Christ. Thank you to Mary for going down and letting Eloise know that we were almost done, so we can have our final song and blessing. And we're thankful for the food that's waiting for us, so the service is ending a little late, so we'll be happy to go over and eat right away, right?
Please stand if you're able, and we're going to be turning in the blue hymnals. 495, All That Who Thirst. 495. Safe travels through the snow.